Hello, and welcome to God's Word. Today, we will be studying from the book of Acts, chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Acts, chapter 8, starting in verse 26. But a messenger of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Stand up and go towards the midday sun to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness." And he stood up and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch sovereign under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who is in charge over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. The link would be Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Again, the link would be Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran up to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, "Do you know what you are reading?" And he said, "For how can I, if someone does not guide me?" And he pleaded with Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is voiceless, so he did not open his mouth. His judgment was taken away in his humiliation. But who will describe his generation? Because his life is taken from the earth." And answering Philip, the eunuch said, "I am beseeching you, concerning whom is the prophet speaking about in this? Is he speaking concerning himself or concerning some other person?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, proclaimed to him Jesus. And as they went on the road, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch says, "Behold, here is water. What is preventing me from being immersed?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, it is permitted." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and going through, he proclaimed the good news to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Okay, now that we have read this scripture, Acts chapter 8, verse 26, starting and going to verse 40, let's go back and look at it. One thing that we see throughout this is that the Lord is guiding. But a messenger of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him what to do. We see in the beginning, we see that the Lord told him to go and join near to this chariot. We see later on, it says, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. What does this tell you? To me, it says, in the simplest terms, God was blessing this action. He was pulling the strings, maybe, but he was guiding this action. He was saying, this is what I want done. This was a very important person that he was talking to. Someone who had been entrusted with the treasure of the Queen of Ethiopia. Someone who, as they say, had Candace's right ear, or ear anyway, right hand and an ear. He was very, very important in Ethiopia. But what he was here on earth was not what was important. We see that it said, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot. The purpose of this was to show the eunuch the importance of a continued life in the hereafter. I'm sure many of us have come to places when we're reading that we wonder, what are we reading? What is this? What is the message that I'm supposed to receive? We do the reading because we know we need to learn. We know we need to figure it out. But when Philip ran up to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, he said, do you know what you're reading? You see the words. I'm sure you understand the words. But do you understand the message behind the words? The eunuch had many things going for him. One, he apparently did not think of himself so highly as to not be able to ask for help. He knew that either he didn't understand or that maybe there was more to it than what he was understanding. So he's honest with Philip, and he says, for how can I if someone does not guide me? There have been people who have been able to guide themselves through the Bible and figure out that they need salvation, or that the church they're going to is wrong, or the life they're leading is wrong. But most of us need someone to guide them. This translation says, not that he asked, not that he used his authority and said, Philip, tell me. No, it says he pleaded with Philip to come up and sit with him. He pleaded with Philip to guide him so that he could find the right answer. If you look at the verse, Isaiah chapter 53, 7 and 8, Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, it is talking about Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is voiceless, so he did not open his mouth. He did not answer the charges against him. His judgment was taken away in his humiliation. But who will describe his generation, because his life is taken from the earth? The Jews were all riled up by the priests and the Pharisees, and they were made to believe that Jesus was a lawbreaker, and that Jesus needed to die so that the church, as they knew it, the temple, would survive. They didn't want Jesus to be part of their temple. Jesus was more ahead of their time than they could handle. And yet, they were looking for the Messiah. But they weren't looking for him to be like Jesus. And the eunuch says to Philip, I am beseeching you. Concerning whom is the prophet speaking about in this? Is he speaking concerning himself or concerning some other person? Well, we've talked about how it is Jesus. And Philip does something very, very important here. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, from exactly where the eunuch was, where his understanding was, where his reading was, and he proclaimed to him Jesus. He proclaimed to him salvation through Jesus. But where did he start? He started right where the eunuch was. He didn't just take the salvation message and drop it on him. He started from where he was and basically took his hand and walked him right through the salvation offered by the blood of Christ. He did such a good job that he was explaining to him about baptism, and the eunuch says, behold, here is water. What is preventing me from being immersed? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, it is permitted. It is permitted because It is what God wants. Okay, let's try 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want to give you an idea here that I believe relates really clearly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some deem slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all to make room for repentance. All of us. He wants every one of us in heaven. He says that pretty clearly here. Because you got to make that room in your heart before you're actually going to repent, which is turn away from and go the other direction. You've got to make room in your heart first. So the eunuch has figured this out. He's figured out, here's water. What is hindering me from following God's command that we should become Christians? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, it is permitted. And what does he say? He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In saying that, what is he saying by saying, okay, here is water. What is stopping me from continuing on the path that God wants me? And he's got an urgency about this. I mean, they're driving down the road. And in our day, it would be, if you're lucky enough to have a chauffeur, or if you have a friend that's driving for you, you say, pull over. Yeah, get to the side of the road. I need to get off. But wait for me. I'm going to be coming back. There's a pond there. Or a stream, or a lake. Who knows? Here is water. Baptism is done every time. If you go all the way under, say you go swimming. But if you don't have the rest of it, if you don't have that belief, if you don't have that repentance, if you don't have that desire to follow Jesus, what good is it going to do you? You have to have that belief that not only is Jesus the Son of God, and not only that he died for you, but that he has a plan for you. And that there is something more that you are doing than just going down under the water and coming up again. You have to believe that there is salvation, and you have to believe that this is the way it happens. He didn't tell him, in our modern day idea, he didn't say, oh, go to the next exit, we can get off there. He said, stop now. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him. Now, I'm not going to get into some of the other different types of immersion. They're not covered here today. Except to say one thing. He immersed him. He didn't sprinkle him. He didn't dip him. He got him all the way under the water. Every part of him was wet. Every part of him had the special cleaning that the Spirit of the Lord was making sure was there. The next part of this is kind of interesting too. Philip wasn't asked to stick around and continue teaching this eunuch. There could be many reasons for that. It could have been more important for Philip to go to Azotus and to Caesarea. But the eunuch had a lot of the basics. He probably was a Jew who already believed, who already had faith. And, oh, something is added to what he already knows. And he sees how it's true. So he works to go through. It's interesting the way I've seen this written, this next part. It says, the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Who would that be? Well, I'll tell you, in my mind, there are three that went on their way rejoicing. The Spirit of the Lord went on his way rejoicing. Philip went on his way rejoicing. And most importantly, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, we're just talking about the beginning. How to get to the point of being a babe in Christ. There are many, many other lessons on life as a Christian. But I'm going through this one today. It tells us also, it says, Philip was found in Azotus, and going through, he just walked on his way to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Not in my Bible. It says he proclaimed the good news to all the cities. Remember, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should make room for repentance, come to repentance. Depends on the version you're reading. God wants us to be with him. Real short and simple. God wants us to want to be with Him. One of the verses, and okay, I had to do a little research and grab a verse here, so I'm back. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. I'm sure you're going to ask why I'm bringing this verse into it, but you'll see it in a moment. If you love me, keep my commandments. What does God want from us? He wants us to love Him. If you love Him, you're going to want to do His commandments. You're going to want to do what He wants you to do. It's not going to be a burden. It's not going to be anything that is hard for you to deal with. It is going to be something that you're going to be able to get done because you want to do it to please Him. So when God tells us that we need to be baptized or immersed for Him, and not through John's baptism, but through the baptism of Christ, then if we have the right heart, we're going to want to do that. Because we are going to want to please God. We can look at all the different ways that people tell you you can be saved. I still haven't found anybody who can find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. I still see too many verses that say you need to be baptized. And I still have this problem with people telling me, oh, it doesn't matter that the first sermon after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and His final ascension says that you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says too, that you will receive a crown of life. I'm sorry, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I apologize. The verse I was reading is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And I was doing it from memory, obviously. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It says here too, in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow concerning His promise, as some deem slowness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all to come to make room for repentance, or come to repentance. And as I'm adding an idea to that verse, that all should want to please God by repenting and following His commandments. Today, I ask you to look at what you consider salvation, against this message, against God's word, and ask that this is what you'd be teaching, that you would be teaching God's word as it is written, that you would show this to all. Because we need to be that person that is guiding others on this road to being with Jesus Christ in heaven. Thank you. I hope this message has been a blessing to you, and I hope you're with us next week. Amen.